This is Leaders in the Trenches, episode number 47. Jill Conrath is our guest today because I wanted to have someone in here that could really talk about sales at a much deeper level than even I can talk about. She's been selling for over 20 years and written at least three books, lots of depth here around selling. And she talks about how do you get in front of people that are crazy busy? That's really important in these days. Also, how do you approach your sales when you're frazzled or you're crazy busy? And inside this episode, we're going to talk about those things.
Join us for conversations with leaders for leaders. These entrepreneurs weren't born successful, but through blood, sweat, tears, failures, and fears, they were able to pull themselves up from out of the trenches. Now here's your host, Gene Hammett.
Hi, this is Gene Hammett. This is your host at Leaders in the Trenches, and I am so excited about this episode today because sales is something I really love to do. I love working with my clients to help them identify the breakdowns that they're having in the sales process, and a lot of it happens on the mental game, the inside, and what goes on inside you about how you think about sales, how you think about the world, and about what you're avoiding to get what you want. And so I have taken it, part of my mission is to go out and find people that know more about sales than me so that when I have the conversation with you about your business, you can actually benefit from that. So Jill Conrath is one of those examples of someone who really understands sales. She's a best-selling author around snap selling and most recent book called Agile Selling, and it will really help you take your business to a new level. So I think books are great. I think books can give you insights into what other people see as a way to solve the problems that you have. But I also believe that talking with a coach like me can really help you with your business. So when you couple those things together, when you take that new learning that you're doing and have conversations with someone in a collaborative manner, like me as a coach, can really take your business to the next level. But here's something I wanted to mention to you. It's called the Bootcamp. And if you haven't heard anything about this, we're talking about sales today. Sales is critically important. In lesson six, day six of the 7-day bootcamp, completely free, we dive into the sales process and how you can improve your sales process without being slimy. So you can download that at leadersinthetrenches.com/bootcamp. And there's a lot of great things put in here in this conversation with Jill. I'm going to put the show notes. It's an episode 47. So that's leadersinthetrenches.com/episode47. And now here's my friend, Chris Ducker.
Hey, this is Chris Ducker, author of Virtual Freedom. And you're listening to Leaders in the Trenches with my main man, Gene Hammett.
Jill, how are you?
I'm good, Gene. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Well, I've already introduced my audience about you and about agile selling, but tell us in your own voice a little bit about you.
I am somebody who is an entrepreneur at heart, and I actually began my career as a high school teacher. I hated it probably every day and finally came up with an idea to start my own company. And I did put together a business plan, went to the Service Corps of Retired Executives, pitched them the plan. The guy said, "This is great, Jill. I love it. It's going to work. Now, which of you," and I had two of my colleagues there, "which of you three are going to be in sales?" And I looked at him and I said, "I thought you said this was a good idea." And he said, "It is, Jill, but somebody has to sell it." So I am an entrepreneur who learned how to sell because it became apparent to me even before I started that sales was crucial to my success. And so I literally said to my two friends, "I will do this for 1 year and not one day longer." And that was a couple decades ago.
Well, thank you so much. The reason you're on the show is because I feel like you're an expert in sales. I don't know how you position yourself. How would you say that?
I would say that, yes, I am an expert in sales. I think about sales all the time. And because it's become my specialty, I'm now an entrepreneur with a specialty in sales.
Yeah. So you have kind of a what I call a horizontal focus, which is sales. You go across many industries.
I go across many industries. I'm primarily in the business-to-business sector. I don't know how to sell insurance at your table at home or how to run a retail store.
So let me ask you this. You're an author of many books, and we're going to go through a few of those here today because I want to dive deep into the way you think about sales. But why sales? Why is it important?
Well, let me just say why it's important for an entrepreneur. It's important because everybody has a dream, something that they're really aspiring to, and they really are willing to work really hard at it. And, you know, it matters so much, but they don't know how to sell. And so many entrepreneurs that I see abdicate it, or they do everything they can to pussyfoot around it. Yet to me, if this is your dream, you have a crucial responsibility to the dream to learn how to sell. So that's why sales. Because without it, your business can only grow to a certain point, or you'll be scraping along on leftovers for the rest of your life.
Well, I totally agree with you, because there's so many people out there that I come in contact with that just fear sales. Why do you think people fear sales?
Oh, because of all the disgusting way that sales has been portrayed over all the years. I mean, I hated sales going into it. I mean, last thing I wanted to be was a salesperson. And I was really averse to it. But what I quickly discovered once I got hired by a really good company who invested time training me, is I discovered that it was about helping people achieve their goals. And if your entire focus was on helping people achieve their goals, you were able to achieve your goals. But all we see in the media or hear about are the worst salespeople of all, the slimy car salespeople, those telemarketers who, you know, try to get you at dinner time. And, you know, you hear about all the tricks, and it's no wonder people hate it. But they ought to realize that that is the worst of this profession. And the people who are the best at it, it just feels like you're talking to them and they're actually focused on helping you.
You know, I love the way you talk about this, because obviously you're so passionate about it. I mean, that's over 20 years experience, you said? Or
oh, more than that.
Okay, I don't want to date you, but 20 is enough. Yeah,
20 is more than enough. Yes, I've been in the field about 5 years. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's been a long time. I started in selling in the late 70s.
So sales has changed, right?
Yes.
Used to be this whole concept, and I was there. I call it the show up and throw up. Mm-hmm. Some people call it the dog and pony, right? You get that meeting, you go in, and no one wants to see PowerPoint anymore.
No, nobody ever has wanted to see PowerPoint or ever wanted to have a salesperson throw up on them. The only time that methodology ever worked was when the salesperson had all the information. You know, I mean, you think back to the traveling salesperson who would go around from town to town and talk about their medicine or their shoe leather or whatever. I mean, there was no other place for people to get information. So the salesperson was really the educator of people. But what happened is it became gimmicky and full of quackery, I guess. And let me try to manipulate you. And it's never been effective when that has always been the driving force. People don't like it.
Well, I agree with you. And I say that all jokingly, because it didn't work back then as well as we wanted it to.
No.
But that's what our bosses told us to do.
That's what they told you to do. And they told you to get out and make those calls, you know, get out and pound the phones and dial all the time and, you know, send out spam emails, you know, all that kind of stuff. They still tell you to do that. And the reality of it is, yes, a certain number of calls need to be made or a certain number of connections need to be realized in order to have a profitable business. But what most people are doing is they're doing the quantity before the quality. And so they say stupid things or they do stupid things that only turn people off. And then they go, well, see, sales is awful. I'm not cut out for sales. But if they took a look at what they did, they'd throw up at their own stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of questions. I don't normally do much research, and I didn't have a chance to actually read any of your books before we had this conversation, because we scheduled it last week. I was really busy. No excuses, but I'm glad we have a chance to do this today. My question for you is, you wrote a book called Snap Selling.
Yes.
And I was looking at this. You've got great reviews on Amazon. So not many books get as many reviews as you have.
Correct.
And not many books actually sell as many as you have reviews.
Right. And I'd just like to add that all those reviews on Amazon, the average review is a 5-star review. And there's over 120 or 140 reviews. And both, by the way, the same from my first book, too, which has been out since 2005, which has over 100 5-star reviews.
You know, I noticed that about because I understand it's hard to get reviews.
Yes.
And people have to really love it or really hate it. Mm-hmm. And it looks like everybody really loves your book.
Yeah. You know, you want me to tell you why people love my book?
Tell me.
Most people can't tell you that, but I can.
All right.
First of all, number one, I write for problems. And the problems I write for are problems that I've experienced in sales. And so the first book I wrote is called Selling to Big Companies. And I was sitting out here as a sales trainer and consultant. And suddenly I lost all my business because my two big clients were told by Wall Street to shut down all extra expenses. And so I was cut loose. And they had allotted for 95% of my time. So suddenly I had no clients and I had to go back and, you know, get new business after many years of being very, very successful. And nothing worked. And nobody answered the phone. All the calls rolled to voicemail. Nobody returned my email messages. And I thought I was going to die. I mean, I really thought there's no way I can succeed in business. And I'd always been really good at prospecting, and suddenly nothing was working. And so at first I was really embarrassed, because if you're a sales coach or a sales trainer and you don't have any clients, that's pretty bad. You know, it doesn't speak well of your ability. But once I started talking to other people about it and opened up that I was having trouble, I just discovered it was everybody was having trouble. It wasn't just me. So then I didn't feel bad that I'd totally lost my mojo. So I actually spent a full year trying to figure out what worked and how to get people to respond to my email messages and how to get people to call me back. And after doing that, I actually wrote Selling to Big Companies, which was specifically written for smaller companies who want to get bigger clients. And it's all about getting in and having an initial conversation. So does that appeal to most people who are small businesses? You bet. Now, I'm from Minnesota. I get to say, you betcha.
I love it.
So, yeah. So then my second book was Snap Selling. And Snap Selling is, it doesn't mean sales is a snap. Snap is an acronym for what it takes. But the problem behind Snap Selling was related to the people that you're calling on being crazy busy. And not only was it hard to get into, which I've already addressed in the previous book, and I took some and updated that in Snap Selling, but also once you're working with them, they seem to disappear into a black hole. You know, I mean, they say, yeah, we're real interested, Gene. Let's get going on it. And then you try to get a hold of them and they don't call you back for 4 months. First of all, you start to think that, you know, they're just maybe busy. And then you start to think that maybe you misunderstood them. And finally, you actually start to think that maybe you really did something that pissed them off. And so you apologize or you just walk away feeling terrible. But the reality is they're crazy busy and they treat you different and they think differently. And we need new skills in order to be successful selling to crazy busy people. So I spent some time figuring out, what does it take to get crazy busy people to want to respond to me? How do I capture their attention? How do I keep their attention? And how do I keep them moving through the decision process when everything in their organization is pulling them back to do work someplace else?
So can I stop you right there? Because I know you could go on.
I could, but you can stop.
What is the essence of Snap Selling? I mean, I saw some things that I really jumped out at me. What's important there?
SNAP is the acronym, and the S in SNAP means simple. You have to keep it so simple all the time. And even though you've got maybe a wonderful process or methodology, they don't want to hear it. You just have to deal with what's important. So you got the simple. N in SNAP means invaluable. And being invaluable, you have to showcase that you are there to bring them ideas, insights, and information that can help them run their business better. The A in SNAP is aligned. You have to be totally aligned with their business objectives, even though you don't know what they are from the outside. You have to assume or presume that they're similar to other people. And finally, the P is priorities. And so if you keep those four SNAP factors at the forefront of your brain at all times, you will be able to, you know, get in front of them and stay in front of them.
Because what jumped out at me was not necessarily the acronym, because I figured it probably was.
Yeah.
But was the invaluable part. So what makes you invaluable to this client relationship?
What makes you invaluable is simply that you are bringing stuff to the table. It's not about your products. Nobody cares about your products. They can go on the internet and find a gazillion lookalikes. And if you think it's your services that you're a wonderful coach or consultant, I mean, there's a whole lot of other coaches or consultants or web designers or whatever out there. So anybody can find it, anything. But if when you meet with them or have a conversation with them or send them an email, you send them something or you discuss something that they go, huh, that's interesting, or wow, I never thought of that, or man, this is really helpful. I mean, anything that you can do to make people say that, then you are starting to differentiate yourself from everybody else who's trying to get their business.
Cool. So I want to ask you the question, and this was, I kind of planned on this. If Snap was so good, and it was, because everyone said it was on Amazon.
Oh, believe everybody, you know, you should.
Why do we need Agile Selling?
Well, Agile Selling is a whole different book. It was written for another problem. And, okay. And I mean, I told you, I write books on problems. That's why I write. This one is a different problem. This is the problem of too much. So after I wrote Snap Selling, everybody said to me, oh, Jill, this is so incredibly helpful. I get how to deal with my frazzled customers. And then they'd look right at me and they go, but I'm frazzled too, Jill. What do you have to help me? And I looked at him and I go, well, I'm not a time management expert. I don't have anything. And so then I thought about it and I thought about it because it kept coming up. I mean, I can't tell you how many people said to me, what do you have to help me? I'm frazzled too. I've got way too much to do, not nearly enough time to get it done. I'm spinning around all the time. And now you're telling me I need to learn sales on top of everything else I have to do. So I really stopped to think about it. And what I realized is that over the years, I have become an expert on rapid learning and how to really learn things fast. And so agile selling is really about how to tackle what you need to learn so you can become a master of it quickly. And for entrepreneurs who don't know how to sell, it's about some of the basic mindset that makes a successful seller. And then I focus on quick acquisition of the right knowledge that you need in order to be successful. I mean, there's a lot of things you can learn about your customers or about your products or about the markets, but there are certain things that if you learn them first, you'll get off to a jump start and be much more successful more quickly. And then I have another section on how to learn sales skills quickly as well. And then finally about productivity habits of successful people. So this is my answer to, but I'm frazzled too. So that's why I wrote Agile Selling.
You know, I love the fact that you position this. I don't know if you've been coached or not, but I solve problems.
No, I haven't been coached on that. That is what I do.
Yeah.
That is what I do.
It really is quite powerful because when you think about looking for, there's so many sales books out there. I think you even wrote that. Does the world really need another sales book? Mm-hmm. But when a lot of these sales books aren't really talking about the problems, they're talking about how they did it.
Yes.
And they tell stories, which, you know, we love stories. I love stories, but I feel like I could really sink into all three of these books that you just mentioned.
Well, they're real and I share failure as well. And I think a lot of people in sales books really like to tout their stuff and aren't I wonderful? I have failed a whole lot and that's why I've learned so darn much. So I share my stories of failure. I share other people's, but in the process of doing, I show how.
I really feel even better about this interview. I seeked you out. I found you through social media and because I was looking for someone that could bring a conversation about sales to the audience here at Leaders in the Trenches. And you talking about these things has been really powerful. A couple of things that you said in there. One is about the mindset of successful seller.
Mm-hmm.
What could you tell us about that mindset?
I can tell you a couple of things. First of all, I really believe that success in sales is a choice. And for all those entrepreneurs who are out there listening and thinking, I'm just really not cut out for it, or I should hire a sales guy to, you know, do it for me because it's just not my natural bent. The truth of the matter is success is a choice. And if you choose to figure out how to do it, you're an intelligent person and capable of doing because you've done it in other areas of your life. But you can't abdicate sales and hope to be a growing entrepreneurial business. So that's one thing that you do have to choose it because when you choose it and when you decide to throw yourself in to learn sales, you will ultimately screw up badly, really badly. And that happens to every single person. And unless you've committed to learning it, you will walk away and throw your hands up again and say, see, I told you from the beginning, I just wasn't cut out to be a sales guy. So that's another thing. And I just want to say to people that I have felt that from the bottom of my heart. I have fainted during sales calls because I was terrified because I screwed up. I have lost weight over accounts after being promoted to major accounts. I was so terrified of calling on the big companies that I lost 10 pounds in 1 month. It's not a good diet plan either.
Stress for diets don't really go well.
It was terrible. I mean, I was a nervous wreck. So I totally understand all that you will fail. But what you have to do is instead of saying that you have failed, you have to say that was a learning experience. Okay, that way didn't work. Now let me see if I can figure out a way that does. Or where can I go to get some advice on how to do it differently? Because I've used up all the ideas that I have, you know, and how can I get better? But you need to take every failure and transform it into a valuable learning experience or else you'll go nuts.
I think what you're talking about too is one of the words that I use a lot as it takes to be successful is resilient.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur, just face it. You're going to face some tough times.
Always.
Whether it be the sales that you didn't get, the sales that you did get that drive you crazy, the clients that aren't calling you back, whatever it may be. It could be something completely outside of it. It could be your relationships at home. And so you've got to really understand resilience as it relates to being an entrepreneur and being successful.
You know, one of the things that I was reading prior to writing Agile Selling was about resilience and how grit is your ability, grit to withstand this stuff is a muscle and that you can get better at handling tougher times. And there's an app out right now called, I think it's called like Reject Me, a rejection therapy. That's what it's called. And anybody who's listening, it's not my app. It's kind of fun, but it teaches you how every day for a full month, you have to do something that gets you rejected and it gives you ideas.
You know, I love that because I really believe that if we measured ourselves not by our to-do list, but by facing our fears.
Yeah.
And that's really what that's talking about, facing fears. And
right.
we would be much more successful, resilient, and do things, and because we get creative.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'll just say, speaking of getting creative, I always hated closing skills in selling. I hated closing. I mean, and I just hated that moment in time where you had to ask for the order. So because I hated it so much, I developed workaround skills so that I could make people ask me if they could buy it. I became so good at helping people understand the business value of what they would get from working with me that they would literally say, how soon can we get it? Or when can we get started? And all because I hated asking for the close. Isn't that sick? But that's how you get creative.
I never hated asking for the close.
Yeah.
But I felt like that it just didn't work the way, you know, the pressure tactics and the scarcity and all those things just don't work.
They're tricks.
I don't like discounts either. I mean, I work with clients all the time about sales. I don't like discounts. If you've got to price something to give someone a discount to get them to do it, I just don't like it.
I know, me neither.
So I agree with you there. I actually published an episode that went live today. It's leadersinthetrenches.com/episode42. And it was me talking solo to the mic. There's enrollment conversations to get customers. Mm-hmm. And I completely outlined my stuff. And it was I had to face fears to do this because I actually don't believe in these closing techniques that work the way they used to and the way people tell you to make
them. I hate them. I think they're sick. I think the only thing that works is to suggest the logical next step.
I agree with you. So I'm glad you actually said that because I was going to ask you, what is the closing? But it's all about the conversations that you have before and about, you know, being invaluable.
Right.
Identifying, you know, being aligned in priorities. I'm coming up with some of the things that in Snap, but I truly believe that. So
well, I do too. I mean, to me, if you're having a closing problem, it's not because you're bad at closing. It's because you've done everything wrong ahead of time. It's a symptom of an earlier problem where you haven't talked with them about their business and the issues related to what you solve and how it will truly make a difference. I mean, in a business conversation, not a pitch, you know, but just a very valid conversation to define if what you sell can really help them achieve what they're trying to achieve.
That's an interesting thing that you bring up there. It's really hard for a lot of people to determine what's the real problem and what's a symptom of a problem.
Yes.
And
it's very hard.
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing that up. I had a question in here before we start wrapping this up. We haven't talked about marketing at all. And I know marketing is probably not your thing, but I think sales and marketing go really well together. What are your thoughts around really good marketing?
Oh, I think as an entrepreneur, I think really good marketing is crucial and that a rich website is essential today. I think a newsletter is important. I think having visibility into your prospects' inbox on a regular basis is the most important thing you can do to build your business over time. If you follow me at all, you'll see that I really love marketing, that it's huge. A huge fan of marketing, and I believe it really makes things a lot easier for entrepreneurs.
It does. I say that all the time too, Joe, that you can do it the hard way or you can do it the easy way in sales. And if you're positioned well before you actually have the sales conversation, it's a different conversation.
It's a totally different conversation. If you're an entrepreneur on your website, they go on and they check you out, which they all do today, you know, and you have some articles that showcase some of the issues or challenges that people like them are facing. Or if you've got some testimonials or specifically case studies of how you help different people, that kind of thing really helps. Anything you can do to showcase your ideas, insights, and information about how to reach goals that are relevant makes a difference. And even a good bio. To me, as a small business, my newsletter has been my primary driver, and everything I do is to get people onto my newsletter list.
So I have to ask, what's been most effective for you to get people onto your list?
If you go to my website, jillconrath.com, and that's Conrath with a K, go to my sales resources section. And what you'll see there is a number of free resources that I'm giving away. And these are really good resources. Every one of them is high quality with good insights for salespeople on how to sell better. Some of them require that you give your email address and your name.
And so I'm looking at now kind of online. And so I see about 12 different options or more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'll see an email prospecting kit. And you'll see an email sales kit, how to write good emails. You'll see a prospecting kit. You'll see a value proposition kit, which is how to craft a strong value proposition that people will listen to. And you'll see a whole lot more stuff. And these are really good tools. Some of them are, you know, out of my books and some of them are things I've created since my books. But you sign up for them and you get good information. And then I keep in touch with you about once a week. But I just send you good information. I never really sell anything. I just give good information and am top of mind.
Right. You know, what this makes me think of, and I recently had a conversation with someone who doesn't believe in being a specialist in their business. And I said, you know, you can do it the other way, but being really clear about what you do for clients and the problems you solve is so much easier.
Yeah.
And trying to work with many different industries as a web designer is really hard.
Well, I think so too. And I think, you know, for whoever it is, that person wants to keep all their options open. And fear is probably driving that boat. If I shut down and say, well, I don't do medical device companies, I only do educational institutions, then you can become an expert on that. But what if that medical device company pops on my site? I want them to call me too. And that's fear that you're walking away from business. And I've had to do that too. But the reality is, if you specialize in educational institutions, or if you specialize in medical device companies, when the right client comes on there, they'll go, oh my God, this person really gets us. They're an expert. They're invaluable because they understand everything that we're going through.
Absolutely smiling over here because we just think so much alike. And I really appreciate your time today, Jill. I've got two more questions for you as we wrap this up. And it's very simple. What's practical and actionable for someone to take action today that would help them get out of the trenches?
Okay, I'm going to repeat what I just said. Go to my website and go to the resources page and pick out whichever resource you're struggling with right now, whether it's email, voicemail, whatever it is. Pick out the issue you're struggling with right now and download something and read it.
Excellent.
That's kind of weird to say, but I want people to realize that they have to learn sales and they have to dig in and they have to dive in and they have to study it. And I'm giving them the tools to study it and to short circuit their learning.
I love it, Jill. Thank you so much today. If our audience wants to get in touch with you through social media or something like that, because you already listed the website, how best to do that? And what do you have coming up next?
Well, I am on Twitter at Jill Conrath. I am on Facebook at Jill Conrath. I am on LinkedIn at Jill Conrath. And I even have a LinkedIn group called Fresh Sales Strategies, about 12,000 members. So people can get a lot of good information there.
Awesome. Been so much. I'm going to recap this after we get off the air. But Jill, thank you so much for your time.
Truly my pleasure.
All right. That was a great interview with Jill. I'm smiling over here because we talked about sales, and sales is such a critical element to your success in running your business and getting out of the trenches. Because if you are not converting people to the right packages or the right offers that you have at the right prices, then your business is going to struggle and you're probably going to feel like you're in the trenches. So I just love that interview. We talked about a lot of great things. I'd go back and take notes about that because I'm going to take notes and I'm actually going to go out and read. Read both of Jill's books, Snap Selling and Agile Selling, because I think they have a lot to add value to what I'm doing and the conversations I bring to my clients, because I want to be in the know from the people that have been there and done it. And so I can bring that to my clients. And, you know, I've got a recent boot camp that I put together, and it's day 6 where I talk about selling and I talk about having a sales process and a framework. And in order to get that boot camp, you just go to leadersinthetrenches.com/bootcamp. BOOTCAMP. And you'll get a lesson every day that's 7 minutes by video. There's some exercises that are inside of each of those lessons, but you will get really valuable information. I call it the fundamentals of business. And that's all about you taking your business and ending that cycle of feast or famine, or the struggle to make payroll, and learning to market and sell your business with much more confidence and clarity. And when you sign up for that at leadersinthetrenches.com/bootcamp, you'll get those completely for free. Well, here's that music.
Thanks for joining us today. This interview gave you insights and practical tips to help you create the freedom you want in your business. Just remember that we all have to endure the blood, sweat, tears, failures, and fears in the journey to the business we want. Right now, you can get your free guide to the number one thing leaders use to save them time and money and classify as essential to building their business by going to leadersinthetrenches.com/free. Join us next time on Leaders in the Trenches.